Grace and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we first moved to Kansas, I remember just how excited Amy and I were about being in an actual house. We spent the first 4 years of our marriage in apartments in St. Louis and then in East Moline, Illinois for our vicarage. But now we were somewhere at least a little bit more permanent. And we actually had a yard. And one of the things that we wanted to do, you know how you have all kinds of elaborate plans before you can implement them, and very few of them actually survive once you can implement them. But one of the things we wanted to do was to plant something like an apple tree or something like that. Something that wouldn't give us fruits right away, in an apple tree's case, not for a few years. But if we stayed long enough, we'd hopefully get some kind of fruit of our own from our yard. And so that's what we did, not with apples, but with a couple of berry bushes of the kind you get at Aldi. I think we got two of them, a blueberry and a raspberry, I think it was. And we planted them in front of the garage along Main Street, and you'll never guess what happened next. You want to know how much fruit we received from those bushes? None. Nada. Nothing. I'll save you the trouble of checking on the way out of church. Those bushes, despite our best efforts to fertilize and to water and to weed, they did absolutely nothing but die. And that's why there's just a couple of flower pots there that I didn't even plant anything in this year. I think Doris did that for me. And so much for that idea. With all the effort we put into that, you can imagine just how frustrated we were when we didn't even get so much as a leaf out of those things. And I can imagine that the vine dresser in our Old Testament reading today from Isaiah chapter 5 felt kinda similar. The vineyard in our Old Testament reading did not produce fruit. Nothing. The vineyard was fertile. He planted it well. He cleared it of stones. The owner did everything he possibly could for the sake of this vineyard. And yet, for some reason, when he came to find grapes, the vineyard had produced wild grapes instead of the cultivated grapes that he had planted, that he had expected to find. And so, because the vineyard did not produce any good grapes, the owner says he is going to tear down its walls, he is going to rip out its hedges, he's going to let it be trampled into the dirt by the wild animals. Because that is all this misbehaving vineyard is good for. I imagine that every so often the farmers in the room kind of feel his struggle of you plant, you water, nothing happens. And so how does God identify this vineyard? The vineyard is Judah and Jerusalem. God planted Judah, he planted Israel, but in the promised land, the land that he had promised to Abraham. In fact, he places the vineyard on a hill representing Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the mountain or the hill that everyone goes up to in the promised land. So he planted them there. He gave them every possible opportunity to repent and to produce the good fruits, but they did not. And so God tells them in Isaiah chapter 5, he will rip them up, you will throw them out, you'll start over. When we read verse 7 in the English, we really don't get what God is saying here. He says, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. He looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry." Okay, what do those things have to do with each other? You need to look at the Hebrew. He looked for mishpat, and instead he received mispach, bloodshed instead of justice. He looked for tzedakah, but instead received tzedakah, outcry instead of righteousness. The vineyard might be Israel and Judah, which produce the outcry and the bloodshed instead of the righteousness and justice, but it can also describe us. Like the vineyard, we also have been gathered together by God, tended and cared for by his hand. God sweeps away the brush, he sweeps away the stones, all of the sinfulness in us is washed away by the waters of baptism. He erects walls to protect us and to keep us close to him, connected to him, by bringing us into the church where we are safe and where we are strengthened by God's word. And while there, he feeds us with the perfect food, his son's true body and blood set before us in the sacrament. He does all of this for us, and yet, like this vineyard, we also might not produce the fruits for which God is looking. Now, in Scripture, the idea of fruit is used in a number of different ways. Luke chapter 3, John's message is, "Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Ask for forgiveness. Amend your sinful life." Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 lists the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It can mean forgiveness or making amends for sins. It can also mean doing all of the good works that God has set before us to do, obeying the Ten Commandments and serving our neighbors by obeying the Ten Commandments. In Isaiah chapter 5, God says that he is looking for the fruits of righteousness and justice. So is that what we have actually produced? God's expectation is justice and righteousness, but is that what we are seeking? What about the injustice that caused all of the rioting this summer? What about the slaughter of babies in the womb? The bloodshed? What have we done to combat the attitudes responsible for this outcry or this bloodshed? Have we been silent when we should have spoken out? On a personal level, have we been just in our treatment of one another? Have we shown mercy to one another? Have we sought God's righteousness in our interactions with one another? Or have we ignored the sinful actions of another person because we didn't want to offend them, and so allowed them to continue going on and doing the wrong thing? Have we failed to do good to those who are in need? Even when we are at our best, even when we are seeking to produce the fruits that God expects or that God looks for, the fruits we bear by ourselves are not enough. And yet God still uses us. God still produces his fruits in us. when this vineyard failed to produce fruit in Isaiah, God completely dispatched of it. He tore down the walls. He removed the hedges. He allowed it to be trampled by the beasts of the field. This is not, however, what he does with you and me. Instead, he has mercy. A good example of this actually comes in Luke chapter 13, when a man had a fig tree which he had planted in his vineyard. I'm not a vine dresser, but I don't think those two go together. But he had planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and the fig tree did not produce fruit. Now, the owner wanted to rip out that fig tree and start over, but the vine dresser said, "No, give me another year to dig around it, to lay down manure, to see if it will produce fruit next year." In other words, give time and patience. Our psalm today, Psalm 80, actually talks about this very thing with regards to God's future, or the future of this vineyard. God brought the vine of Israel out of Egypt, and he planted it in his chosen vineyard. And yet, God broke down its walls and allowed it to be trampled, as happened in the Babylonian captivity. In the end, the psalmist Asaph prays that God will turn towards them and restore them, that he will bring the vine back to the vineyard, will replant it, and allow it to produce fruit once more. And that's exactly what God did. He did restore Israel after their exile. He did have mercy on them. And he has mercy on you. We do not always produce the fruits that God wants. We do make mistakes. And yet God is the one who cares for us. God is the one who tends and nurtures us. God is the one who puts it in us to produce the fruits that he looks for. When we fail, God is patient with us. When we only produce the bare minimum, God rejoices in that and encourages us as we continue. Remember, these fruits are not something that we produce because we have to bear fruit. You produce fruit because that is what you do. We are not saved because we produce. We produce because we are saved. Christ's all-atoning death on the cross is what feeds and nourishes you and enables you to produce the kingdom fruits of justice and mercy and righteousness. You can't do that on your own. Now, when you look at the altar today, you see just one example of the fruits which we produce in faith. Our ladies, despite being forced to stop by coronavirus, managed to produce 65 quilts, 26 health kits for those in need. Lutheran World Relief, Topeka Rescue Mission, Community Health Ministry. Is that something they had to do? No. Is it something that makes them more saved than anyone else? No. Is it something that they did because there was a need they could fill? Because God has provided so much to his people, we are naturally encouraged to produce the fruits in keeping with his message and his desire. What incredible blessings our God has given to us. We have been forgiven and encouraged and strengthened by him, and by his power we produce the fruits of his kingdom. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we produce the fruits for his kingdom, which he places in us to produce. Amen.